Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, December 4th, at the Angelus on this second Sunday of Advent, Pope Francis underscores the way of humility as essential to our lives. And a look at how people of different faith traditions are working together to help refugees on the move due to climate change. And a preview of scheduled events for the Pope's journey early next year to the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Thaddeus Jones. Speaking to pilgrims gathered for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis spoke about the role of John the Baptist, as recounted in the Gospel, in inviting everyone to conversion, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist was an austere and radical believer, the Pope said, calling people to conversion with a cry of love to return to God.
Il Battista, più che un uomo duro, è un uomo allergico alla doppiezza.
The Pope said we might think that John the Baptist, given his severity, was a harsh person, even instilling a bit of fear, and we might wonder why he's our primary companion during the season of Advent. Instead, rather than harshness, it was the Baptist's strong reaction when he encountered duplicity in persons, the Pope said, and recalling episodes when the Pharisees and Sadducees, known for their hypocrisy, approached him, he would challenge them, the Pope explained. They thought that they had it all together and did not need repentance. He continued, and with this presumption and duplicity, did not welcome this moment of grace and the opportunity to begin a new life.
Perciò Giovanni dice loro, fate frutti degni di conversione.
So John tells them, the Pope said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. This is a cry of love, like the cry of a father who sees his son ruining himself and says to him, don't throw your life away, the Pope explained. And hypocrisy presents the greatest danger because it can even ruin the most sacred realities, the Pope observed. And this is why John the Baptist and Jesus later would be harsh with hypocrites, those without humility or any sense of their own sinfulness and weaknesses, and seeing these problems only in others. Pope said, therefore, bravura is not important to welcome God. Instead, humility is. It requires getting off the pedestal and being immersed in the water of repentance.
Non siamo anche noi a volte un po' come quei farisei.
The Pope said, then we also need to think about our own behaviors and attitudes and consider if we also are at times a bit like the Pharisees recounted in the Gospels. Do we sometimes think we're better than others, that we have everything under control, or do not have daily need of God and our brothers and sisters? The Pope said Advent is a moment of grace to take off our masks and line up with those who are humble, to be liberated from the presumption of the belief of being self-sufficient, to go to confess our sins and to welcome God's pardon, to ask forgiveness from those whom we've offended.
Così comincia una vita nuova.
When we ask God for forgiveness, the Pope said, we begin a new life, and there is only one way, and it's the way of humility that can lead us to being forgiven and purified from our weaknesses, our sense of superiority or hypocrisy, to realizing that we are all sinners. The Pope emphasized that Jesus, as the Savior, comes for us just as we are, with our poverty, misery, and failings, above all with our need to be raised up, forgiven, and saved. And let us remember one thing, the Pope added, with Jesus, there's always the possibility of beginning again.
E in Gesù vedere il Salvatore che viene per noi, non per gli altri, per noi.
Jesus awaits us and never gets tired of us, the Pope emphasized, and Advent offers us a special time of grace to return to the Lord, he added, praying that Mary may help us to meet him and our brothers and sisters on the way of humility.
Benedicat vos, omnipotens Deus, Pater, et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
Following the Angelus prayer, the Pope recalled that this Thursday we'll celebrate the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And to Mary's intercession, let us entrust our prayer for peace, especially for the tortured Ukrainian people. Among the pilgrims present in St. Peter's Square, the Pope also mentioned in particular those from Poland, expressing his gratitude for those supporting today's Day of Prayer and the collection of funds to assist the Church in Eastern Europe. Yesterday in Rome, the 8th Mediterranean Dialogues Conference concluded. The three-day meeting brought together political and institutional leaders and representatives and hosted social, economic, and media experts to discuss key issues for the Mediterranean area. Pope Francis sent a message to the conference calling for solidarity among all and shared solutions to challenges Mediterranean nations are facing, especially working for peace, assisting migrants and refugees, and finding common solutions to best manage difficult situations. Participants at the Mediterranean Dialogues meeting discussed one of the latest challenges they're facing, and that's climate refugees, the increasing number of people forced to leave their country due to extreme climate change now affecting their homelands. Monsignor Robert Petillo, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, or ICMC, based in Geneva, Switzerland, attended the gathering and spoke to me about this theme and also how believers of different faith traditions see the importance of working together on these challenges in coordination with governments and non-governmental institutions.
What struck me most was, first of all, we were in a closed-door session on a migration forum that was co-convened by the Institute for the Study of Policy in Italy and also by the UN Migration Agency, IOM, International Organization for Migration. And there we spoke a lot about the climate-related migration, forced migration. And also the point was made very, very clearly and dramatically that the climate change in the Mediterranean region in terms of heating up is more severe than in other parts of the world right now. Also, the link between climate migration and climate change and forced migration of people from Africa, especially from the Sahel region, has contributed to the conflicts there as well as to the forced migration toward Europe. So that was something that it's clear that we really need to look at. They also predicted that by 2050, we'd have over 215 million people forced to migrate within their own countries because of climate change. So they would have to go to another part of the country for a certain period of time and then return back when, once again, they would be able to farm and to survive in their own home area of the country. So that's a tremendous amount of internal migration that will take place by 2050 if we do not address climate change in a much more structured and committed way.
What about in terms of assisting people, knowing full well, unfortunately, that climate change will continue in the meantime?
This is a theme that came up both in this migration forum, but also in the wider discussions that were held on the 2nd of December. And almost every speaker from the highest level, from the head of state of Italy and the heads of state of Mauritania and of Niger, to many of the experts, all said, we cannot do this alone. Not only around the climate change migration, but about all migration. We have to do this in a united way, and also not only focus about security and borders, but also about what we can do together, since especially in Europe, we also need the workforce of migrants arriving here. But it was clearly stated that we need to do it in a much more regular and voluntary way, a controlled migration management way, rather than simply trying to force people away from the Mediterranean region.
Any other interesting topics of discussion during this summit?
Yes, a constant topic of discussion during the dialogues were the role that women and children, youth, can play in working together to the theme of the dialogue was weathering the storms, interdependence, resilience, and cooperation. And there was an emphasis on women as being especially able to promote dialogue and also on young people being able to adapt themselves in a different way, either to a new culture or to share their own culture with other young people. The example was given of the important role that universities could play, not only to handle some complementary pathways, which are important. It's another way that people could safely come from their home countries to a welcoming countries, but also to be sure that these foreign students are really part of the whole community and not just have to relate to an office that handles their legal affairs, and how young people have more vision, more creative vision to be able to promote dialogue among each other and also with the older people.
That was Monsignor Robert Petillo, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission, ICMC, based in Geneva, Switzerland. Pope Francis will travel to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and to South Sudan from January 31st to February 5th, early next year. His visit had originally been scheduled for the summer of this year, but had to be postponed due to his mobility health issues. The apostolic journey was announced in a statement from the director of the Holy See Press Office. The Pope will make the apostolic journey to the Democratic Republic of Congo from January 31st to February 3rd, visiting the city of Kinshasa. And then, together with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, the Ecumenical Pilgrimage of Peace to Juba, South Sudan, will take place, and that's from February 3rd to the 5th. Highlights of the Pope's apostolic journey will include a visit with victims of civil unrest from the eastern part of the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, and in South Sudan, a meeting will take place with internally displaced persons, and then as well the ecumenical prayer service. With the formal announcement of the Pope's visit, the Holy See Press Office released the following schedule. On January 31st, the Pope will arrive in Kinshasa, and there will be, of course, a welcome ceremony and a courtesy visit to the President of the Republic and meetings with the national authorities, civil society, and the diplomatic corps on the afternoon of that Tuesday. On Wednesday, February 1st, the Pope will celebrate Mass at Indolo Airport in Kinshasa, and he'll be meeting with victims in the afternoon of the unrest from the eastern part of the country. And in the evening, there'll be a meeting with representatives from some of the charities that are helping out there. On Thursday, February 2nd, in the morning in Kinshasa, the Pope will meet with young people and catechists. And in the afternoon of that day, there'll be a prayer meeting with priests, deacons, and consecrated persons and seminarians at the Cathedral of Notre Dame du Congo. And finally, on Friday, February 3rd, before leaving Kinshasa, the Pope will meet with the bishops there, followed by a farewell ceremony. The Pope then heads to South Sudan, and he will arrive at Juba International Airport at 3 p.m. local time. He, of course, will make a courtesy visit to the President of the Republic and meet with the vice presidents as well. He'll meet with the local authorities and civil society as well as the diplomatic corps there. And then we'll have time for rest before Saturday the following day when in Juba he'll meet with the local church leaders, the bishops, priests, deacons, and consecrated persons. And later in the afternoon then he'll meet with internally displaced persons. And at 6 p.m. finally, the ecumenical prayer at the John Garang Mausoleum. The following day on Sunday, February 5th in Juba, the Pope will celebrate Mass at the John Garang Mausoleum. And then at 11 in the morning, there'll be the farewell ceremony at Juba International Airport. Of course, Vatican News will be there. We'll be covering all those events early next year for that apostolic journey. And that brings us to the conclusion of our Vatican News update on this second Sunday of Advent. For more news and other information on these stories, be sure to check out our website, www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on our Facebook pages and our Twitter feed. We'll be back on the air this same time tomorrow. Be sure to join us then. I'd like to thank Damiano Caprio in studio for helping me here. And in the Vatican, I'm Thaddeus Jones. Have a great evening.